Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Holtcast. It's time to dive into Aston Villa's 3-0 win over Arsenal at the Emirates Stadium. Well, well, Villa fans, football is once again fun for Aston Villa Football Club. Arsenal 0, Aston Villa 3 finishes at the Emirates. A very pleasing evening or afternoon, depending where you are in the world, to be a Villa fan. But nonetheless, Cole Pettum here as always. And as always, Danny Raza is here as well. Danny, how are you doing?
Return to normality, isn't it? I'm good. I'm good, Cole. Another Villa win. Our fifth of the season. And I'm starting to get used to it.
I sensed a little bit of a questioning about the fifth of the season fire with a little bit of a drag on the fifth. Is that more a sense of, is that actually true? Or are you just kind of forgetting?
No, I'm forgetting. It's a Sunday night, dude. It's 10 o'clock. I'm trying to remember my math, but I am in fact correct. So it doesn't matter.
Fair enough. I just had to double check. And of course, it's not just me and Danny. We have... Once again, I will say it, and this will be his new nickname for us, the Irish legend himself, Neil Dunworth. Neil, how are you?
I'm good, guys. I'm good. I'm feeling good after that game. Yeah, I didn't expect it. Those unexpected wins on Sunday evenings are, we're becoming too accustomed to them, I think. Can we play all our games? I sent out a tweet yesterday, and I was giving out about the fact that it was another Saturday and another game at Old Villa Football. And we go away and we beat Arsenal. On a Sunday night, I'm never going to complain about Villa not playing on a Saturday ever again because all we do is win when we play on a Sunday evening.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, my old man said exactly the same thing. And I hadn't even noticed that Sunday nights really are becoming a thing. And like, maybe it's that black kit as well, just getting lost in the darkness. You know, Arsenal probably couldn't see us coming.
It definitely could be, Danny. It's kind of interesting because... Personally, like it's a 2 p.m. or 2:15 p.m. kickoff. Once again, I still don't understand these quarter past kickoffs, but anyways, so it's not that bad over here. But for you guys, like it must be a killer in some aspects. But anyways, of course, like I said before, 3-0 to the Villa, a Saka own goal and a Watkins double sees us go back to sixth place. We have a +9 goal differential, 15 points, 5 wins out of 7. Our best start to the Premier League since 98-99. So there are some accurate stats for you. And I'm glad I wrote those down right. So yay me. And here's another interesting stat. Let's get into this first before we actually get into the game, because this is unbelievable in my opinion, because I would have never imagined this, especially with our form last season away. We are 3-0 so far away, 7 goals for, 0 against, I should say. Neil, I'll come to you first. How impressed are you with that stat?
That's amazing. That's absolutely the flip reverse of what happened last year with this team. We couldn't score away from home. We couldn't keep clean sheets away from home last year. There was that massive statistic coming up towards the end of the season whereby we didn't have a clean sheet away from home in the Premier League since like 2015 or something mad like that. Obviously, we had years out of the Premier League, but it's crazy. And now we flipped it on its head, and very much so because of structured football at the back, structured back four, our fullbacks are allowed to get ahead, and a very, very much so a nice little wall in front of our midfield, which worked today and has worked in countless other games this season. And in most of the other games this season, bar Leeds, our wall had worked, and bar the first half against Southampton. So it just goes to show that when we play structured football, we are a match for very much any team in this league. But when we don't play structured football, we can see goals at the other team's mercy, should I say, like we saw in those two bad halves of football, the 45 minutes against Leeds and the 45 minutes against Southampton. But The statistic is amazing. It was only when you said it to me beforehand. I know the commentators, I was watching, it was actually on TV here in Ireland, on a channel called Premier Sports One. And I had the absolute pleasure, sarcastic voice of having Kenny Cunningham, who is now ex-Ireland international, commentating. Now, Kenny Cunningham is, what he says is very intelligent, but he's got a very droll, uncharismatic voice. And sometimes I tune out. But he did mention at one stage that we were we hadn't conceded a goal at home all this season, or away from home all this season, and that it was quite astounding that that was still the case. But to hear it again in a more charismatic voice from yourself, Paul, it meant more coming from you, put it that way.
Oh, well, I'll take that. Danny, I'll come straight to you. What, in your opinion, what's changed, especially the away form from last season to this season?
I think we just know how to defend, which, I mean, simple. We watched the last... I think you watched the last two games, and obviously you probably don't come to the same conclusion. But in general, you know, when we are wide awake and when the intensity is there, Villa know how to defend. And I think... it's interesting as well, just because we almost seem to have Arsenal, for example, today, just so on edge, because they knew that anytime they pushed ahead to us, we had Watkins and we had Grealish ready to just dip in behind and Barkley as well today. So there was always that threat as well. But I think when McGinn's on form, when Douglas is on form, when Matty Cash is jockeying for fun. He gave Aubameyang a really hard time today. I think Villa just defensively are a lot better. And I genuinely think just a large part of that is just being better in terms of going forward as well. It's an underplayed thing. And often it's said a lot in terms of, you know, oh, if you attack, you know, it's the best form of defense. Well, offense is the best form of defense. But in general, it just means that Villa aren't under pressure like that all the time. Last season, there was never anything going forward, and the defense just, it felt like the entire game was a defensive drill. We don't feel like that anymore, and I think that's got to be the main thing. Why it's so exceptional, or why the defense has been so good compared to everybody else, I genuinely couldn't tell you. But my inkling is that the big difference between now and the first part of last season, pre-lockdown, probably Craig Shakespeare. And that's what I kind of point towards.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like, all I could ever say on it is, and I think we've seen this since Project Restart, is it was just kind of a back to basics thing. And we've seen it since then. It's doing the simple things right. It's taking your time on the ball and not making silly decisions. Of course, every team still has the odds. Stupid, silly, whatever you want to call it, decision. We saw that today and we got away with a couple of them. But nonetheless, when things are going for you, they're going for you. And I guess we'll kind of switch that whole aspect of what I just said to what didn't go for us. And it's hard to be, I don't want to be too negative today, but this is one of the most ridiculous things in my mind I've probably ever seen. And I've seen some ridiculous things. John McGinn in the first, 40, 50 seconds. It's within the first minute of the game. Scores an absolute banger set up from the likes of Jack Grealish, and it's called off for offside with Ross Barkley interfering apparently with Bernd Leno, even though he's like 10 feet away from him. Neil, I'll come to you first. What are your thoughts on this? Because, like, it still boggles my mind how this is waved off.
Crazy stuff. Yes, okay, if the ball goes in and it goes underneath Bernd Leno, or if it goes underneath Ross Barkley's feet and Leno has to react quickly, yes, he would have been interfering with play, or he would have been interfering with the goalkeeper's eye line. There's no way. If Leno had two hockey sticks in his hand, he wasn't going to stay saving that ball. He would have needed to extend himself by about 4 feet to be able to save that ball. It was just a banger. It was right in the top corner. Look, by the letter of the law, we saw what happened with Bamford yesterday. Like, by the letter of the law, if VAR sees someone offside, they're just going to call the ball offside. You know, there's like, what we wanted last year is we wanted more thought to go into VAR. We wanted them to execute it in a way whereby they executed, they made the decision from a point of view of the standing of the game, how the game was going, what was happening within the game. Whereas what we're seeing now is they're saying, right, this person had half their shin offside, no goal. And what they've done is they've actually got more stringent in their rules, as opposed to looking at it more from a clear and obvious error. Once again, you go back to the clear and obvious error. It took them 4 minutes to make the decision, and apparently we're supposed to believe it was a clear and obvious error. So for me, that's like it is what it is. I don't care. We won 3-0. What about it? But it's just the premise of the whole thing for me
Surely it's a black and white thing though. It's either offside or it's not offside. And by the letter of the law, he's offside. So, you know, surely there's no subjectivity in it.
Yeah, he was offside. He was, but when McGinn, like, he wasn't interfering with play.
Yeah,
like,
but
you know, there's sets of rules. There's sets of rules out there. It says interfering with play. It says clear and obvious error. There wasn't clear and obvious error there for me. I don't know. Like, you look at the shot. The shot's a banger from McGinn. Like, there's no way a goalkeeper saving it. A man's offside and he wasn't interfering with play. You know, what's the big deal? Look, it doesn't affect us. We won 3-0. I think, like, we're never going to have a game whereby VAR is used, whereby everybody's going to agree with it, because the laws are written in such an ambiguous way. And they're written in an ambiguous way, so the referee is a cop-out all the time. And look, the fact that it takes 4 minutes to come up with a clear and obvious error, that's the problem here. So, like, having wording like that in there is the problem. That's what I'm saying. Get rid of wording like that there. And then it makes 100% sense to everybody. But they have the ambiguous law-driven, legal-driven words in there. And for me, it just gives people cop-outs. And as I say, I'm all for it. If it's a case of, listen, have it as offside or have it not as offside. But you don't get it that way all the time. You know, it's literally not implied in the way that the game should be done because of the ambiguous wording.
I disagree with you in that it's not a cop-out, right? Because, so, I can understand why we were upset, because I was upset as well at it being disallowed, because at the end of the day, you know, it's not something that would have ever been questioned pre-VAR. So I totally get that. But why I give plaudits to the referee for that is, at the very least, he went up to the monitor. He didn't have to do that. You could have taken it for gospel from the VAR, from the guys up in the room. You went to the monitor.
There's the cop-out, Danny, though. The cop-out is that the guys above and VAR guys up there that are looking at it, they've drawn the lines, call the referee over for it. For me, that's like, basically, the referee has to make that decision. For me, I think that the boys above stairs just said no goal, if that's the point. Like, if it was that obvious, then the boys should have said no goal. Like, dragging the referee over there for pageantry and pomp just to come over and look at the screen to go back and say, yeah, I made the decision on my own. I don't know. I think they've made it too convoluted from it. I'm right. I know what you're saying. If it is offside, it is offside, you know, but it's the fact that the ambiguity of it and the whole, we're going to be like rugby, we're going to bring you over here, you have to make the final decision. For me, that's a lot of bollocks, to be honest.
I think without droning on about it, I think, you know, the Leeds decision as well this weekend is probably just, it's just amplified that a bit as well. It's getting to the point where it's like, okay, well, yeah. Like, how many absolutes are there?
Michael Richards said beforehand, I don't want to be talking about VAR. And then for 10 straight minutes, he spoke about VAR. Like, it's impossible not to talk about it because it's so subjective. It's so ambiguous. And like, it's like when you've got, like, when the whole game is looking at it and going, that's the stupid offside. I don't know. It's just one of those things with VAR. I don't think we'll ever be happy with it. We cried about it. I wanted it for 20 years. And now that it's come in, I just can't enjoy goals anymore. You know, sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. And I think that's what brings my frustration into it, is that I wanted it so much from looking at rugby, looking at the NFL and stuff like that, and how it was implemented and how it clears up a lot of 99% of the issues. But what it does here is it's still subjective. It's still objective. It still takes into account emotion and feeling from a lot of things, like Bruno Fernandes' penalty last year and stuff like that. So I think that's where it comes from for me. I'm going to be honest, is that I'm disappointed in how badly it's turned out from the point of view of how much of an effect it's had in the game, when I was convinced it wouldn't be. It wouldn't have that much of an effect. That's really why I get so annoyed at it.
No, that's more than fair, guys. Like, that was a really good chat and debate on it as well. And that's very insightful. So hopefully listeners actually enjoy that, because it's good to have people disagree and agree on different things. Like, that's the whole point of a podcast, in my opinion. But I think the one thing, guys, and we'll move on here really quickly, the one thing that bugs me most is when I heard a commentator say, basically, it's being deemed this way, and this could be an interpretation that's wrong in their way. Basically, they were just saying, well, is he in, like, I don't know. Is it harming Leno from making a save? Is this stopping a goal-saving opportunity? And I'm thinking, well, first of all, like, the issue with that question now is that people can take that 10 different ways. So now with VAR, people are going to probably start wondering, well, how many different instances and how many different probabilities are there where goalkeepers can be affected from making a save? So once again, it's another conundrum when it comes to VAR, but let's move on, because we did win and I don't want to make this too negative. Literally, people are going to be like, I'm depressed now. But
I'm sorry. I used that as a bit of therapy for myself to get over the fact that I was wrong about VAR when it was first brought in. Sorry for dragging it all down. Well,
the funny thing is, though, when that happened, I'm literally thinking, as like the editor of this podcast, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to use as a headline? Am I going to say like VAR ain't a friend or something like that? And then we win 3-0, so I can't use that because that's way too negative. But nonetheless, obviously, let's get on to the first goal, of course. And we can kind of tie this whole topic into it too, because Danny, I'll come to you first. How good, in your opinion, were Grealish, Barkley, and Target today on that left-hand side in particular? Because we saw it like literally ripping Bellerin a new one. I don't know how many times the right side literally for Arsenal could not handle it. And it's brilliant to see. And of course this goal comes through Target, just laying it right across the box. And of course it comes in, Saka knocks it in his own net. I'm so gutted for Trezeguet, because that guy literally has a residency at every back post in the Premier League. And it would have just been lovely to see it. But nonetheless, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was like, I just remember thinking, what is going on here? Just that, the build up to that goal, right? Because it's like Jack has the ball, he holds it, has it for about three or four seconds, doesn't really move. Barkley picks up the ball, same thing, back to Grealish, and it just carries on like that forever. And suddenly Target just finds his way through that Arsenal defense and rips it across. And it was just interesting because Arsenal had all their men back, didn't they? And I'm just thinking, right, there's no way we're making it through here. Surely a defender gets a deflection, goes out for a throw-in or a corner, but no. And I just thought that first goal was brilliant because of that. You know, that the way that they just persevered and were so patient with it and eventually found that. And yeah, Trezeguet at the back post. Oh, this guy's brilliant. I really do like him. I remember saying during the game, it almost feels like we've got a striker on the right wing. You know, you've got somebody who can finish who's over there. Granted, he hasn't had the goals yet this season, but all his hard work, all of that, you know, it all makes it worth it. And the fact that he manages to create so many chances for himself. Yeah, no, it was a terrific goal.
Oh, 100%. And we'll kind of move things on here quickly, because there's a bunch of other topics I want to discuss on. So, Neil, I'll come to you. We'll kind of wrap Ollie Watkins's goals kind of into a group here, because, of course, there was two. The first coming from just a short little header from, I believe, the left-hand side. Nice little header into the center of the net. Great presence there, a great run. Then you go into the second goal. Just a great counter-attacking play, and well done to Jack Grealish for running like a million miles there to basically set that up perfectly. And of course, that leaves us with the 3-0 scoreline. So, Neil, kind of two-part question here. What are your thoughts on those kind of two goals as it is? And what are your thoughts on Ollie Watkins? The man has, what, 6 goals and an assist so far in this Premier League season?
I got a message about 5 minutes before his first goal. And I want to talk about his first goal, because I think his first goal could be the best goal we scored this year so far. I got a message from one of my mates, Liverpool support mate. He goes, what the F has Ollie Watkins done all season? I'll tell you what he's done. All he did was score a hat-trick against us. And then it was like FFS at the end of it. 5 minutes later, Ollie Watkins gets the first header, and then obviously he got the second goal afterwards. But he had some fantastic touches today. His hold up play is brilliant. You know, he went to war with Gabriel today, and he went to war in the air with Gabriel, and he took some balls out of the sky with fantastic touch. Was able to lay it off and was gone back for more. I was critical last year of Wesley when he was playing up there, that he felt he had to go to war with centre halves, and he wasn't quite sure how to do it with the strength that Premier League centre halves are, or that centre halves in the English game have, should I say. Ollie Watkins has that, and he's very much more diminutive guy than Wesley is. So it's going to be really interesting. I can't wait to see the dynamic between the two of those when Wesley does come back. But Watkins was fantastic. That first goal for me was an absolute peach. Douglas Luiz picks out an unbelievable raking ball. It was put straight into that corridor of uncertainty. The goalkeeper couldn't come for it. Center halves couldn't get their heads in it. And it just landed to Ross Barkley at the back post. And what did Ross Barkley do with that volley across the box? Like, if you try that a million times, it only comes off probably about 10. It was ridiculously good. It was a perfect volley across the box. And I know Watkins was only, 3 yards out, but he still had a defender on him and he had to be brave and put his head in there. Last year, and even at the start of this year, we had El Ghazi a couple of times try to put it, when he could have put his head on the ball, went through his foot and so on and put it, skewed it up and over the bar. Ollie Watkins put his head on it, and that goal for me was fantastic. I love Ollie Watkins. I really, really like what he's doing. I really like what he brings to the team, and he allows us to counter-attack. The third goal as well was exactly that. Ollie Watkins never give up spirit. Jack Grealish, we know he has it. Jack Grealish is a treasure. We just need to love him. You know, every English football fan should love Jack Grealish, and that's a lot coming from an Irish football fan, considering that there was a time when we thought he could be our treasure, but not anymore. And it's going to be a small bit bittersweet when he togs out for England and Ireland play England this coming Thursday. And we're going to have Declan Rice and Jack Grealish most likely in the midfield up against their other adopted nation, should I say. But anyway, less of that. Jack Grealish is fantastic. He had a lung-busting run, got onto the ball, used his weight very well to kind of just nudge the defender, played a lovely ball in, and Ollie Watkins scores. You know, so it's for me, he's got something like every time he shoots, what is it? Every time he shoots on target, 50% of the time he shoots on target, he scores, and 20% of the time he actually shoots, he scores. Ooh, so like he's got he's got ridiculous efficiency stats. Yeah. So a lot of people might be, a lot of other fans, as I say, would be critical of him saying that he doesn't really do much, doesn't get into shooting positions and stuff. But when he does, he's bloody pinpoint and he's spot on. But that first goal that he scored was just, the build up play for me was just outrageous. Outrageous.
Oh, yeah. I thought as well, just in, this was Watkins, I think. This is a big game for him. This is a massive game for him. Massive. Because, you know, apart from the Liverpool game, he hasn't scored a goal from open play in the Premier League. And I don't want to... I don't want to justify this, but there were people who were doubting him already. And he proved today that he's not a one-game wonder. Like this guy is brilliant. He really is. And nobody can call us a one-man team anymore. I don't care what anybody says. You start looking at the statistics. You start looking at contributions to goals. I think Watkins has contributed to like 33% of Villa's goals or something like that. And you know, you can't say that we're a one-man team anymore, because Watkins brings a lot of what Grealish offers, but he's got something else about him. He's got a different flavor about him. We finally have somebody who can attack the ball with their head and is good at their feet. And I thought personally, brilliant game from him. I just want to bring in an interesting fact as well, that I was just looking up. Did you know that Villa have the highest shots per game after Liverpool?
Really?
Which is crazy. Yeah, after Liverpool, Villa have the highest shots per game.
We're just good this year.
Yeah, we are. You talk about, you know, the goals that are being scored, and it's like, you know, that helps, doesn't it? You've got Grealish having a goal. You've got Barkley having a pop. You've got Watkins having a pop. Trezeguet as well. I just thought our entire front line had a good game today. Even Trezeguet winning the ball back, you know, high up the pitch and distributing it to Barkley, you know, fair enough. He slips it across. It doesn't end up reaching the back of the net because it's cleared off the line. But just the forward line in general today was brilliant. We just need to see more of that. And that's why we can't be defending. And that's why we can't come out against Leeds and Southampton like we didn't, get nervous. Because we have our own batch of attackers that can do damage. And we really need to utilize that.
Oh, 100%. I think the biggest kind of caveat for me, and the biggest bonus that I look at for this season, is last season, up until the Arsenal game, ironically, we just couldn't beat a quote-unquote top six big team. You know what I mean? This season. We're just scalping them. We're just taking them to the woodshed. Man City, watch out. I'm not going to say that because we're going to get probably hammered now that I said that. But anyways, Neil, I'll come to you. We'll kind of add this as the last question, and then we'll get on to men of the match and just a few last notes so we can get you guys out of here in a timely manner. Emi Martinez, this is a big deal for him. This is a big match for him, and it's a clean sheet. What were your thoughts on his performance today? I know he didn't really have to do a lot in terms of save wise, but what were your thoughts on his performance today?
I love when Emi Martinez, when that cross goes to the back post and Emi Martinez comes off his line and it looks like it's just going to go over his fingertips. He always finds a way to stretch that bit further and catch the ball. Like the safety that the man, like it's a skill that a lot of goalkeepers, I'm going to call him a continental goalkeeper. I know he's from South America, but like he's, you can see that he does, that he's been brought up in the right way because he was young when he came to Arsenal, and he would have had, I think he would have had Gerry Payton as his goalkeeper coach at one stage. I can't remember who the other Arsenal goalkeeper coach was in there. The reason I know Gerry Payton is he was sub goalkeeper for Ireland for years, but and really renowned goalkeeping coach as well within the Premier League, especially under Arsene Wenger. But Emi Martinez was brought in there and he seems to have been taught how to play football, how to play as a goalkeeper without any fear. And I know that can be a bit counterintuitive, but when he goes up to catch a ball, he's going to catch the ball. You know, he's not going to flap it. He's not going to have to push it around, try and maybe flap it, palm it over the defender behind him to get it out of danger. I'm very confident in him. His distribution is fantastic as well. How many times have we seen this year that he just pings the ball and it lands maybe about 3 feet in from the sideline and one of our guys gets ahead in it and it sets up an attack. So it funnels everybody over to that side of the field. One of the two central midfielders that they have over to this side of the field. We win the header and it comes back into the middle of midfield. We're there. We know where the ball is going. We can pick it up and we can try and get something running from there. But overall, he's a steady pair of hands. The 7 goals we've conceded in the last few games, of those 7 goals, as I said before, 5 of them were worldies. There was no way he was saving them. I'm very, very happy with Emi Martinez. And as I say, especially what the command of his box from corners is just superb. And you can see he's really done his apprenticeship as a goalkeeper.
I was saying this before as well. Like I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, say Jack Grealish and Tyrone Mings are, you know, God forbid, injured one game. Yeah, I could see Emi Martinez stepping up as Villa captain. He seems like a captain, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
I agree.
100%.
It's just that, you know, we've got a commanding leader in goal right there. And to be fair, one of the things we do need to get better at in terms of, I mean, is you know, reaching those goal kicks a little bit better. But I think the long ball as well, you know, you talk about Martinez and his goalkeeping effort today. The long ball from Villa today was key, really was key. Arsenal, for whatever reason, I don't know, you know, talk about Mikel Arteta being Pep Guardiola's tactical, you know, apprentice or whatever. But what on earth possesses you to play 5 at the back against Villa? I'm sorry, it was just silly. And having your fullback so far forward, because Watkins, Grealish, Trezeguet, they were having fun out there. So was Barkley. And a lot of that was because of the long balls. You heard Watkins in the post game interview. He said that Villa were basically told to just cut the lines.
Yeah, he also said he was an Arsenal fan too. So that's new.
He did.
Well, I think he
knows how bad they are.
I think he always said he used to be an Arsenal fan because he used to love Thierry Henry as his idol as well. So I remember that's what he said when he was at Brentford and he moved in to play a central striker. He said that's what he always wanted to do, to emulate Thierry Henry, come in off the wing and play as a central striker. And fingers crossed we have a Thierry Henry in our hands, guys, because that would be pretty fun for the next few years.
Oh, imagine that sale. Oh, 100 million plus. Yes, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, if we move now, it would be that kind of money.
Absolutely. Okay, before we get to the man of the match, guys, I just remembered, of course, I always ask you guys to tweet us at 7500 to hold on Twitter just to get your thoughts on the match. So I'll just go through quickly and read out a few. There's over, I think, 13 of you that responded. So thank you very much. We'll start with at 123BBQ123. The man loves a barbecue, apparently. Unless that's your initials, I apologize. But anyways, even though McGinn's goal was wrongly disallowed, Arsenal looked shocked at how easy Villa could get through on goal. The work rate of McGinn and Trezeguet is so important. There is no comparison between Villa's front three to Arsenal's. Watching Grealish in this form is amazing. At Adam Clarker saying, beyond what we already knew, our attacking mids are great. We can defend if we put our mind to it. The best signing was Watkins. Tough game like last week. Had spells today where he was isolated, did the work, and got two great goals. Hope the Target Boo Boys finally wake up. And we'll finish with at Andy Phillip Day saying that performance after the last two losses showed belief, energy, and joy in football from every player on the pitch. So once again, thank you guys very much for getting involved. It's greatly appreciated. Danny, before we kind of move on to further things and pastures new, who was your man of the match?
Got to be Ollie, isn't it? It's got to be Ollie Watkins. I think Grealish had another brilliant game, by the way, just heading into the international break, where he has been selected by Southgate, and I think even Gareth Southgate's starting to believe in him now. Grealish had a very good game. I think Barkley as well had a very good game. You know, that guy's changing position every single... Like, is he really a central midfielder, or is he a striker, or is he a CDM? I don't know at this point, yeah? But yeah, I thought Barkley had a very good... had a very, very good game in terms of what he created. But yeah, I think it's got to be Ollie, because that diving header that he scored, you know, that first of all, is one of those things that only a top-class striker seems to be able to do these days. And also, that second finish as well with his left foot. Both those goals, hey, very difficult. Very, very difficult for a striker. I have to give him the plaudits. And the way that he cut the lines, the way that he held up the ball and distributed and contributed to general play, even sometimes on the left wing whilst Barkley was up top almost. Yeah, it's got to be Ollie Watkins.
Fair enough. Neil, how about you?
I had Ross Barkley. I'm glad you gave him a mention. I thought Ross Barkley was brilliant today. And that's exactly as you said, Danny. Ross Barkley played almost as a 10 today, or as a second striker today. I've been doing a lot of over the last two games, and I leached back into the Leicester game. I've been doing a bit of analysis on player positions and where they picked up, and see if we changed anything from our setup against Leeds and Southampton that may have made us susceptible because we were playing at home. And there was a few positional changes from Douglas Luiz and John McGinn. But what I noticed in all the games so far, that Ross Barkley has almost been standing on Ollie Watkins' toes for the majority of the game. Because we've had a lot more possession, Ross Barkley can be that far forward. Now, we do see him back defending as well, so he does have to have a bit of an engine on him and get up and down the field. But the majority of the time when we're dictating the play, he is right up there alongside Ollie Watkins. So maybe that might be throwing teams the fact that we're actually playing with two up top, and they're expecting maybe Grealish to come in to be up there a bit more. But it's actually Barkley, and they're like, what the fuck? No one said he was going to be.
We played a 4-4-2, Neil. We played a 4-4-2 today. I won't hear anything else. We played a 4-4-2.
Yeah, I'm convinced we did too.
Fair enough.
Which
okay.
is great against the back five.
Yeah. Literally, it worked to a peach, if that's even a saying. I don't know. But anyways, my mid of the match.
It worked to a peach.
There we go. How about that? I don't know. Man of the match, I will, you know what, I'm going to change it up. This is a little kind of off topic, but I'll go Matty Target just to prove people wrong. The only reason I say that, his link up play with the likes of Grealish and Barkley, which we've previously mentioned, was brilliant. The overlapping was fantastic. How many times that caught Arsenal off guard, I should say, was astounding. His play to set up the first goal was fantastic. And to be honest, he just kind of kept that whole left-hand side in his back pocket. So fair enough to him. I think he proved a lot of doubters wrong today. So fair enough to him. I'll give him the plaudits. But Danny, do you have any last-minute thoughts or anything?
Well, I guess I think one of my big thoughts is that it's a big weekend. Villa fans should celebrate, because not only did we pick up a big 3-0 victory over Arsenal, but the Villa women also got their first win of the season. Big win, because it lifts them off the off that bottom side of the table. 2-0 win over Brighton. I just want to get that one out there. If you haven't seen the goals, you should check them out, because Anita Asante and Ramona Petzelberger both scored absolute conkers today. So check those out. But it's good to see, Cole. It's good to see another 3-0 win over Arsenal. We're becoming one of those teams that just on their day is either terrible or brilliant. And I haven't got a problem with that.
Oh, absolutely. It's nice to see the men's and women's team both having success, not only in the same season, but on the same day as well. So congratulations to both of them, of course. But let's wrap this thing up, guys. Thank you very much to Danny and to Neil for joining me. If you want to find Danny on Twitter, it's at Razzagerno. If you want to find Neil on Twitter, it's at Love McGraw Pod. Of course, if you want to tweet us, it's at 7500 to Holt. Thanks to our FPL sponsors, 1 to 11 Kits. And of course, just the one little kind of mention of housekeeping. Please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. It just makes it easier for other people to find us. And basically, it would just be nice to have some of you guys back since we've moved to the podcast feeds. And it's very much appreciated to those who followed over. But nonetheless, guys, let's wrap it up there. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.